lifestyle. Selena McKenzie.
Our next guest lives here in Spain, which is wonderful because she's in the studio, and her book titled The Fighter Pilot's Daughter, Growing Up in the 60s and the Cold War, has recently been reissued. It's a memoir, and here's here to tell us about it. Please welcome to the show, Mary Lawler. Thanks for joining us, Mary.
Thanks for having me. It's delightful to be here.
And this book, so it was published 2 years ago, and now it's been reissued.
Right, in paperback.
In paperback, okay. And you've come all the way from Gaussin today.
Right, I live in Gaussin half the year and the other half the year in the United States.
Yes, I can tell by your accent. But obviously, being a fighter pilot's daughter, you obviously travelled around quite a lot.
Right, we did. We moved all over the United States and we lived in Europe in several different places. It's a, you know, growing up in a military family can be a kind of dramatic and even traumatic experience. And my family moved so many times. It was often interesting and entertaining, but it was also emotionally and socially difficult.
I guess schools. Did you move around to different schools?
Yes, we moved to different schools all the time. Every 2 years, my sisters and I were uprooted and sent to some other place. And it often happened in the middle of the school year.
Mm.
You know, it's not as if we started in a new place at the beginning.
And also, there weren't things like Facebook and social media, so you couldn't really keep
no.
in touch with friends for very long.
No, no. You made friends awkwardly, kept them for a short time, and then left them and never saw them again.
Oh. Yeah. And did you see much of your dad?
Well, we saw a lot of him, yeah, but he was away a lot. He would be deployed to war often, mm-hmm. and that certainly was not entertaining at all. And that was very difficult. It was the stuff of nightmares and, mm-hmm. you know, psychologically very, very tough.
It must have been, because we do tend to think about the awful scenarios that soldiers go through,
right.
And pilots and anybody involved in the war, but we don't really think about how the children are affected. And if you're very young at the time...
Right, right. There's not a lot of attention given to that. More so now than there used to be when my sisters and I were growing up, on the part of the military agencies that deal with social services and things like that. They pay somewhat more attention to what the kids are going through with all this shifting around. But when we were growing up, there was just none of that. And frankly, I think it's still really quite a problem. It's difficult for kids to do that, you know, to be yanked up every couple of years and asked to walk into a new classroom and meet people and, you know, find a place for yourself right away.
Yeah.
It's really difficult.
It must be. Yeah. And when did it stop? Was it when you came of age and got married and moved on yourself?
Right, yeah. I mean, I didn't get married until much later after I moved out of my parents' house. But about that, yeah, when I moved out of my parents' house, that's when the official moving stopped. But I sort of continued to be something of a wanderer for many years afterwards.
It obviously became natural to you to be like that.
Yeah, kind of, right.
And is the book, The Fighter Pilot's Daughter, is it done in sort of a diary form? Is that how you remember everything, or have you had to go back over everything and write it as a story?
I had to go back over everything and write it as a story. It became a narrative. I mean, I carried all those difficult memories with me through the years after I moved out of my parents' house, and eventually I started teaching at university, and I gave courses in literature and film of the Cold War. So at a certain point, my students started asking me questions about my own personal experiences of those years. And I took the risk of telling some of my own stories. You know, you have to be careful doing that in the classroom. But I did. And they convinced me that they were interested in, you know, the Kennedys, for example.
Yeah,
you know?
It's very interesting.
Right. And so I ended up getting kind of re-inspired by those stories myself and started writing some of them down, and that turned into a narrative, and then it became a really rich psychological experience to go back into all of those memories.
Okay.
And eventually I had a full draft of it and sent it to an agent, and The rest is history.
Yes. So is the book just about your younger days, or does it go right through your life to now?
It goes up through my... the high point is my years at the American College in Paris. Actually, sorry, it's just 1 year there. When I had left my family home, I'd been a very dutiful Catholic Irish-American military daughter, and I got to Paris in 1968, and my parents had been hoping that I would avoid all of the student uprising that was going on in the United States. They were afraid of that. I'd been a good child, but they didn't want me exposed to any of it. And so it's very ironic because I ended up in Paris, where some of the most you know, dramatic and memorable and historical student uprisings of that period took place in May of 1968. And I was in the thick of that.
Wow.
So my parents and I were really on opposite sides of the political table. But the book goes through that, and then it kind of leaps ahead to years later when I finished graduate school and the Cold War is ending and my parents are retired from the military and the stresses within the family between us are coming to an end.
Mm-hmm.
And we become very, very close again.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah. You very kindly said that you'll share a bit of the first chapter with us.
Sure.
So please do. It's very exciting.
All right. I'll just read a couple of paragraphs.
Yeah,
I don't think we have
brilliant.
Too much time, right? Okay, so I'll just start at the beginning. This is the introduction. It's called The Pilot's House. The pilot's house where I grew up was mostly a women's world. There were five of us. We had the place to ourselves most of the time. My mother made the big decisions, where we went to school, which bank to keep our money in. She had to decide these things often because we moved every couple of years. The house is thus a figure of speech, a way of thinking about a long series of small cement dwellings we occupied as one fictional home. It was my father, however, who turned the wheel, his job that rotated us to so many different places. He was an aviator, first in the Marines, later in the Army. When he came home from his extended absences, the rooms shrank around him. There wasn't enough air. We didn't breathe as freely as we did when he was gone, not because he was mean or demanding, but because we worshipped him. Like satellites, my sisters and I orbited him at a distance, waiting for the chance to come closer, to show him things we'd made, accept gifts, hear his stories. My mother wasn't at the center of things anymore. She hovered, maneuvered, arranged, corrected. She was first lady, the dame in waiting. He was the center point of our circle, a flyer, a winged sentry who spent most of his time far up over our heads. When he was home, the house was definitely his.
That's incredible. It sounds fantastic.
Thank you.
I'm quite excited because I need a new book. I've got the last two chapters of The Widow I'm reading at the moment.
Oh, great.
This could be my next one.
Okay.
Just from what you've said there, the pressure on your mother, the pressure she had to keep everything together for herself, and she wasn't in the limelight like your father was.
No, not at all. Yeah, it was a really old world, you know, the gender relations were really old world in that time in the military. And yeah, she had to, you know, pack up every teacup we owned and every painting every couple of years, and eventually we all knew how to do that to help her out with it. But she never had a home, and
no,
she always wanted one. You
that's
know?
That's the other interesting thing that I've written down. You said house. It was always a house. It wasn't a home.
Right. Right.
Because you weren't there long enough.
Right, right.
Aww.
And it wasn't like she got used to it and thought, oh, well, you know, this is how we live. It was always difficult.
Mm.
You know, it was always painful. And I think in England, very often it happens. I have lots of friends from the UK who tell me that in military families that they know of or that they belong to, a lot of times the children are either sent to boarding school or they live somewhere in the UK with their mom and the dad goes around or their parents go around doing all the moving.
Mm.
But the kids don't have to go through all of that. But in the American military, that doesn't happen so often.
We broadcast to Gibraltar. It'll be interesting to know if anybody's listening from there.
Right.
Is this your first book?
It's actually my third book. I mentioned earlier that I taught at university, so I wrote a couple of academic books before that one. But I've given up academic writing now, and I'm working on a couple of novels at the moment. One of them is finished. It's called The Stars Over Andalusia, and the other one is on its way, and it's called The Timekeeper's Room. And those are both set in Spain, in southern Spain, and their stories about the experience of being foreigners here.
Well, I must put you in touch with Hannah Murray, who does the book show. And she'll probably want to speak to you about that.
Wonderful.
It's a novel, so yes,
great.
Exciting.
Yeah.
So this particular book, it's called The Fighter Pilot's Daughter, Growing Up in the 60s in the Cold War. It's by Mary Lawler, who we're speaking to now. It's been out a couple of years, but it's been reissued. Can we buy it online? Because you know how difficult it is to buy books out here.
Yes, right. It is available on Amazon.es as Kindle and paperback. I mean, you might have to, I checked this morning, you might have to put in the search box Kindle Tienda, or is it Tienda Kindle, to find it, or the Tapa Blanda.
Mm-hmm.
But it's there, and it's also available at the BarnesandNoble.com website. I think Barnes & Noble also sells out of the UK, and they ship down here.
Yes.
And it's also available I skipped this, Amazon UK.
Yes. I was
Amazon UK, Amazon ES, Barnes & Noble.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because when I download Kindle,